I think tonight's a good time to do it. Brother Cooper, would you lead us in that, please? Brother Ryan, lead us in prayer. Because every one of them are found in the Word of God, without exception. And so, therefore, we need to be mindful of our obligation and our duty to the Word of God and to our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave us those principles and those doctrines. I'd like to speak to you tonight on the origin and heritage of the church. And heritage is an estate that passes from an individual to an ancestor, and it is to pass down from generation to generation. The Lord's churches, he established his church himself. And he said the gates of hell would not prevail against it. Matthew 16 and 18. He says, thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church upon himself. And he said the gates of hell would not prevail against it. Now, he wasn't talking about that church that he built there lasting eternally or forever. However, it will, but not in this world because it's gone. But that church has reproduced itself, has handed down the precious doctrines and the faith to another church and another church and another church and another church. And that's what we call church succession, church lineage, church perpetuity. Now, and everything, God created the church and it brought forth after its kind. There are still New Testament churches in the world today. Look with me to Ephesians chapter 1, if you would, and we'll begin reading at verse number 18. Ephesians 1 and 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. His inheritance in the saints. Who are saints? New Testament church members. They're called to be saints. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The inheritance in the saints. What inheritance have we received? New Testament church. From another church. Duke Street Missionary Baptist Church, Portland, Oregon. That church from another church of the same kind has reproduced down the line. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power? Who's preserved the church? Not man. But Jesus Christ has, through the work of the Holy Spirit and his office work in that church. What keeps this church on the straight and narrow? The Holy Spirit dealing with the hearts of men. As the word of God goes forth, he confirms it in our hearts. According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him up from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in the world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, brethren, according to the scripture, according to history, according to the records of God and of man, the Lord's New Testament church is Baptist only, or there is no church. Why? Because they have the lineage, they have the succession. Why? Because they have the truth. They have that faith that we're to contend for, earnestly contend for, that faith, again, that was delivered to the saints, the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, what's the other side of that thing? Catholics were driven out from among the Baptists in A.D. 312. Now, these dates can be a little here or there, but approximately around these times. They formed an alliance with the state under Emperor Constantine the Great. The first general council was the Council of A.D. 325. The first universal pope was enthroned in A.D. 606. Boniface III was made pope by Emperor Phocas. Lutherans, Martin Luther in A.D. 1520, Wittenberg, Germany, not Palestine. No church. Who did it descend from? Man. Man has no authority. Man has no power. Man cannot reproduce. And by the way, if the church went off, then what does the Bible teach us about the warning of the church at Ephesus? If you don't repent, I'll come and remove the candlestick out of his place. That's what happened to these churches that formed finally the Catholic Church. Presbyterians. John Calvin, A.D. 1535. Methodism, John Wesley, A.D. 1729. Free Will Baptist, Benjamin Randall, A.D. 1780. Now, notice I said true Baptist churches. There's some call themselves Baptists that were started by men and tried to claim the name. Don't we read over there in Proverbs, I believe it is, or is it Psalms maybe? Where it says there be women who want to go by his name, but they don't want to be identified with him. I believe this fits. Camelites You guys don't have a clue who a Carmelite is, do you? Church of Christ Christian Church. Alexander Campbell, he was a good Lutheran, came from Germany to the Lord's New Testament churches in Kentucky, Tennessee, Virginia, and other places in the South, and he was converted and joined in. He even wrote a history confirming that Baptist lineage goes all the way back. And then he went haywire. He drifted off. He bought in, back into Protestantism, a little at a time. And then he established his own religion, taking many of the churches off into that error with him. And then he come up with five steps to salvation, and I think the third step was repent. After you believe, you got to repent. Well, if you believe after you repent, where are you? You're repenting of believing, aren't you? Anyway, that's foolishness. The Carmelites by Alexander Campbell, A.D. 1827. Episcopalian, King Henry VIII, A.D. 1530. I think there was a divorce there and some shenanigans going on with that. The Episcopalian, King Henry VIII, 1530. Mormons, Joseph Smith, A.D. 1830. Now, he received his direct from God, but it wasn't the God of heaven, it's the God of this world. Amen. Because the God of heaven, according to the Holy Scripture, says he don't work that way anymore. That passed away when we received the completed word of God. 1 Corinthians 13th chapter, that which is perfect is that word of God. James 1:25, it's 1:25 of James. So you look into that perfect law of liberty, which is the word of God. Hardshells, Hardshell Baptist, by the way. Daniel Parker in A.D. 1832. Nazarenes, S.F. Breeze in A.D. 1885. Jehovah Witnesses, Rutherfordites or Millennial Dawns. Pastor Russell in A.D. 1884. Congregational, succeeded from the Church of England in A.D. 1602. The Greek Catholics separated from the Roman Catholics in Europe in A.D. 1050. And that separation came, I believe, over... I know that the Greeks still immerse, and the division was partially about that. But what was it, Brother Dale? Okay. Don't remember. It was one other thing, but I can't remember. Anyway, that was enough. Because the Romans, they sprinkled poor or immerse, never or seldom immerse, but the Greeks still immerse those who make a profession. And that happened in 1050. The Dutch Reformed Church separated from the Catholics in Europe in A.D. 1050. The conventionisms among Baptists was begotten by Andrew Fuller and others in Kettering, England in A.D. 1792. It was born in Philadelphia, USA in A.D. 1814, set free as a body politic by the state of Georgia in Augusta, A.D. 1845, with her charter. In other words, they came under the state. If you come under the rule, and that's why Baptists have always fought for separation of church and state, to keep the state out of the church, is exactly what it was. And so they succumbed, and they come under the authority or the power of the state. All right, that happened in 1845. All are Protestants except Baptists and Catholics. Yeah. You get that? Catholics didn't oppose themselves The first Baptist in the world. John 1, verse 6. John chapter 1 and verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Matthew 3 and verse number 1. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist. Not John Baptist, that wasn't his last name. John the Baptist, the kind of individual that he was. Well, what made him that kind of an individual? Because he baptized? No, that wasn't the reason. Because what he preached, taught, and practiced. Because before he baptized, he preached and taught them to the point of salvation. And then, no doubt, it is inferred and taught in many places that he taught them more than that. And the greatest evidence to me of that was over there in the fourth chapter of the book of when he come out and called them out on the seashores of Galilee, they immediately left their nets and followed him. They immediately left their father and followed him. They wouldn't do that unless they were expecting, and they wouldn't expect him to come and organize them into a church if John the Baptist hadn't taught them some things. And you know he taught them the word of God. He's made such by the word. Look at Luke chapter 3, verse number 2. Luke chapter 3 and verse 2. Ananias and Caiaphas, or Annas and Caiaphas, being the high priest, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. The word of God came unto John. What did John preach and teach? The word of God. Didn't say just the gospel, it says the word of God. Look at Luke 1. Verse number 17. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That was John's work. Guess what the New Testament church's work is today? To prepare a people for the Lord. To prepare a people to be presented to him as a chaste virgin, for him to choose a bride from. Look at Matthew 3, 16 and 17. Matthew 3, verse 16 and 17. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, who was that? John the Baptist. And what John the Baptist preached and taught and practiced, God the Father said, "I'm well pleased." The way he administered it, I'm well pleased. And by the way, if John administered it and Jesus come up out of the water, then John come up out of the water because he was in the water. That's our clear-cut example of administering baptism. And this idea that it's terrible for the preacher to get wet, so he ought to stand outside a bathtub and have people lay down in it. Why not stand out down here, wave your hand, and motion them down? You're not administering anything. They went down in the water. When Moses come across the Dead Sea and the children of Israel were baptized, he went in with them. And they were baptized unto him, the Bible says. Let's get on the Bible. Let's stay with it. Let's get legalistic about these things. Because they're what separates us from the others. And we let up just a little bit for convenience sake, brother. We're on our way out. Yeah. Just a little at a time. Chip away. That's the way it occurs. That's the way it happens. God laid the foundation stone. Look at Isaiah 28 and verse 16. Isaiah 28, verse 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. The foundation. God laid that foundation. He laid it there. And the apostles and prophets were on this foundation. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse number 20. Ephesians, the second chapter. Verse 20. Well, let's start out with verse 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit into the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Look at that, saints and household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth, the saints. What does he say? We're fellow citizens with the saints. Okay. And of the household of God. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. The first ones to start building on this foundation, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 11. The apostles, 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11. For the foundation, for other foundation can no man lay than that it is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Why can't it be laid? All these people out here have tried to lay it. Man is trying to lay it, still yet trying to lay it, because some new denomination pops up every time you turn around, and they're worshiping and serving God and giving him glory. Man-made organizations. But listen, the Bible says there's no other foundation that can be laid than the one we just read about in Isaiah and the one we just read about there in Ephesians. And that foundation is Christ. It's laid and it's not going to move. He's the chief cornerstone, brother. And the gates of hell will not prevail against his New Testament churches. There will always be a scriptural New Testament church in this world when he comes. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. No other foundation? You got to build on this foundation with this stuff. If you don't build on it, saved yet so as by fire. Knowing ye, or know ye not, that ye are the temple of God? Who's he speaking to here? Church at Corinth. That has a lineage back to the first church that he built. And that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. And if any man defile the... Whoa, look it out. Brethren, if it's anything irritates and upsets me, is members of the New Testament church and members of this New Testament church bringing reproach on this church by living one way when we're in church or around church people or around a preacher, and another way out in the world. When you're in here, you're the church. When you're out there, you're the church. You need to live it in here and out there also. Now listen to what this says. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? Concerning the church, church members, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Amen. The church is a holy temple. This physical body is not. 1 Corinthians 6 over here tells about the body and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. This is talking about the indwelling of the Spirit in the church body. And what did he say? If you defile the temple, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. Amen. These little kids, teach them the Bible. Amen. Dispel the teaching they're going to receive from the world. This is reality. This is real life. You're not going to find in here that a man's not a man. You're not going to find in here that a man and a man or a woman and a woman match. You're going to find that the God of heaven and his great wisdom made a male and female, and he made him a man eternally. And brother, whatever you might do to try to change that will not change. A man will stand before God as a man, and a woman will stand before God as a woman. Mark it down in your little day book. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Those wise in this world, thoughts are vain. What are they based on? Humanism. Man making it up. Man making his own way. God said, this is the way. This company started from the baptism of John. Look at Acts chapter 1, verses 20 through 22. Acts chapter 1. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore, of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of the ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles, those that had accompanied from the baptism of John. We have a religion that man started that has 12 apostles. They have 12 apostles today. They're not the apostles of Christ. Because in order for one to qualify to be the apostle of Christ, he had to be baptized by John the Baptist. Yeah. Had his beginning with the preaching of John and was baptized, otherwise he wouldn't have been a member of the church. By heaven's authority, John the Baptist. It was built on that rock, which is Jesus. They received the keys of the kingdom in Matthew 16, 19. Authority to execute in the kingdom. This is something that in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, the angels dare not to tread upon this authority. Smarter than man, aren't they? Yeah. They know not to push God too far. Men ought to learn that. The church received the spiritual gifts. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse number 28. And God hath set some in the church. Well, if you want to start church on Pentecost, that's fine. But the church that Jesus started was right here at the seashores of Galilee in his personal ministry. And in order for him to put some in the church, there had to be a church to put them in, didn't they? First apostles, that's who he put in the church. Secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, and diversities of tongues. Now remember, they were receiving the word of God direct. And in order to confirm that they were, God gave them the power to perform miracles. But when the word of God was completed on the Isle of Patmos by Apostle John, book of Revelation was completed, there were no more miracles. They didn't need them to confirm the word, they had the word. God's will for man and redeeming man from Genesis to Revelation. That's all that's needed. They also received the Lord's Supper. He instituted it and placed it in his church. They received a commission, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, going to all the world, preach the gospel. As a matter of fact, Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost part of the earth. Jesus labored with his church for 40 days and nights after his resurrection. Read Acts 1, first six verses. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but he shall be baptized, or he shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence, or ye shall be baptized by the Holy Spirit not many days hence. So he met with them 40 days. And over here it says he ascended up, and they were witnesses. They were witnesses of that ascension. And by the church, the manifold wisdom of God is known. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. And to make all men see what the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. How do you know the manifold wisdom of God? By the church. By the church. Exactly. He'll receive glory both now and forever. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 21. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. He will receive glory in the church. What church is that? That local scriptural New Testament church with the lineage that has received the promise, the heritage, those that are blessed with as saints, those called. You know, there's a calling. You got to answer that call to become. You're not just automatically one. You have to answer that call. You have to come to him. You have to yield. You have to submit. To who and to what? To this. Isn't Jesus the Word?
Yes.
If you're going to submit to Jesus, you're going to submit to this. If you don't submit to this, you're not submitting to Jesus. Quit wasting your time. Yeah. That's just how it is. You either or. And by the way, he gave us the will. He gave us the power. He'll give us the grace to do just exactly that if we're willing. If you're not willing, forget it. Waste your time. Not only that, you're hindering the Lord's work. You're bringing reproach. When I was a young preacher, all the old elder preachers said, preach the word. Said, you'll either preach them in or you'll preach them out. Yeah. We need to preach the word. Not only the pastor, but the church needs to preach the word, because you could preach some people that are out here in the world in. Hopefully. That's the direction you want them to go. But if they bring the world in, then you're going to preach them out. Let's stand. If you're here tonight, the Spirit of God convict your heart. Come to Jesus. All I can do is point you to him. All this church can do is point you to him. We cannot fix you in any way, but he can when you're willing. What shall we sing, brother?